Go, we pray. Heavenly Father, we are very happy for your gracious presence, Lord. You've given us so much of yourself, not just those things of creation for which we do appreciate, but of yourself, your Spirit, Lord, and your Word, which is, we realize, the conduit, the source of the Spirit. True definition of yourself and those things which are of you and also concern us, and we're grateful for that. Therefore, to know this correctly and aright, Lord, really is eternal life. So help us to imbibe freely this morning, O God. Show us the way more perfectly. We'll give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into number 12, I realized the other day I made a mistake on a little thing I mentioned concerning protein. I want to correct it. I was thinking that all you needed was about 3 to 4 grams of protein per day. You actually need 35. I believe what was in my mind was the fact that you're not supposed to use any more than about 4 ounces of animal protein, fish, bird, anything, and the rest should be vegetable and other matter, like your complex hydra, carbohydrates. And don't have too much oil. And oftentimes I talk along health lines, so I want to make sure that I corrected that for you, because no doubt some of you sitting here realize that was an error. I was going to give you about 10% of your requirement. And that'd be kind of bad if you took that to heart, wouldn't it? Well, I'm not a doctor, unless it's a doctor of baloney or something. So anyway, all right. We're into number 12 of the, does God change his mind about his word? And it definitely appears to me that this message, as well as others, so much like it, especially the anointed ones of the end time, are enlargements and refinements of what Jesus said concerning his presence in Matthew 24, which we'll read. And this is also exactly 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Luke 17:30, where we see the Son of Man and the Son of Perdition brought out together. So let's go back here to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, because we can't repeat some of these things too often. We want you to really become tremendously familiar with them. And Jesus had said in Matthew 24, those couple of verses at the top, they were looking at the temple. He said, not one of these stones will be left upon another. They'll all be thrown down. And later on, they sat in the Mount of Olives. The disciples came and asked him, when shall these things be? That is, when the stones with the temple be all thrown down. What is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, you'll notice in there, the word is not coming, it is presence. Now, how could these people, as I've said before, know anything about Christ coming a second time when they didn't even understand he's coming the first time, didn't even know he was going to die, didn't know he's going to rise again, and of course when he did rise again, they were still confused. So when you say, well, these people here are talking of a second coming, hogwash. I mean, you're not even being intelligent. Right? You're not being, hey, what goes with you? How do you know if you didn't know concerning some of the things I have? Like I got several books on the Spurgeon on David, the treasure of King David, and I've got books by I think one of the greatest theologians, if I can remember his name, from Germany. He wrote From Eternity to Eternity. I'll remember his name later on. Doesn't matter. You wouldn't know. Some of them are in the back there in the office. A lot of them are home, scattered around. How would you now? You wouldn't know anything about the books if I just laid one of the books on the counter here and you're looking at it and nothing was said about it. It's just there. And later on, we take a little service out, a little something out of it. But I don't mention the other books. So it's anybody that thinks that they're talking here about a second coming when these didn't even know about a first coming are now considering, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's in Matthew 7:16. Thou art the Christ. And you notice, even at that time, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then he tried to persuade Jesus to go against the Word of God. Here's a man to whom was said, Thou art Peter, and flesh and blood hasn't revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven is here. Now he turns around and says, get thee behind me, Satan. What I'm trying to show you is that there's no way under high heaven that you can say that these men understood a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it was they wanted to know, when will you indicate your presence? When will you show that you are exactly who you are? They were still in the same unstable condition that the scribes and Pharisees were when they said, show us a sign. Now, don't fuss at those guys, but take a little hope for yourself. If you're a little messed up this morning, say, well, hallelujah. 11 disciples that sure did make it, and Paul was the 12th, the apostles, and Brother Branham said the 24 elders, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 apostles, right? 12 patriarchs, 12 apostles. It's a lead pipe cinch, you know. They got it made. So we. Remember Moses? Fooled around for 40 years, got trained for 40 years, did good for 40 years. He said, where does it leave us? To the resurrection and the millennium. 1,000 years sanctification. I'll need it. Well, you don't, but I do. So these people here, these disciples, they said, what is the sign of your presence? What are you going to give that will know that you're there? Now remember Brother Branham categorically said when Jesus came back, they never recognized him by his form, and the book of Luke categorically tells you he was in another form. And that word absolutely means a change from a form to a form. Did he look different? Boom! No doubt about it. They knew him by what he did. Now Matthew 12 categorically states, if you have an ounce of understanding, that he must do the same thing for the Gentiles that he did when he was here in the flesh for the Jews, as Brother Branham said so. But Brother Branham never quoted you where he got it from. He put it in Matthew 4, of course, but he didn't say that's where I got it. Now it's our job to know that this infallible prophet gave right to the Word, and he never erred from that Word one split second. 100 trillionth of an inch. Or a millimeter. Make it. Why, if he erred a million part of a million or a trillionth part of a millimeter, if he actually erred in the Word of Almighty God, you know, a miss as good as a mile. He ain't no prophet. But you see, you can take everything back. And Brother Branham preached, and he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. You see? So he said, what is the sign of thy presence? Huh. What was the original sign? John the Baptist. First of all, born to two old people. And she said the mother couldn't have children in the first place, and she'd had see something like Sarah, but not as bad. Now it comes along and has a child supernatural visitation, supernatural prophecies by a man and a woman, supernatural visitation by angels, shepherds came along, wise men came along. Why, to get rid of him, to even slaughter the innocents. But John the Baptist was the one that pointed to him. You shall go before him, the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah, and point out Emmanuel, God with us. And he said, there is the Lamb of God. Why? Because God came in and went into him. So what is the sign of your presence? When will you declare yourself? Now they put him on the foal of an ass, and they went through the streets and threw the palms down. He said, this is right, this is true, this is the way it should be. Well, they said, get rid of him. At the end time, they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. So what is the sign of it? First, there's got to be a prophet. And he's got to do, the prophet's got to do what he's supposed to do to make sure that he's the right one. See? So, all right. Now, at the sign of his, at the time that he is present, which precedes the end of the cosmos as we know it, because then they knew that he was to declare himself, I'm taking the kingdom over. Now, at the same time he declared not only himself to the disciples, but he declared the disciples to himself, and that's exactly what William Branham did. You're the virtuous, spotless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got it made. See, now that's for everything. See, I marvel at how perfect we are with the Word, because we had a vindicated prophet. See, now, they say here, what is the sign? What is it the presenting yourself? Your epiphania. The moment of your glory. See? He said, take heed no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am the one. See? I am the anointed one. And shall deceive many. Of course, people go right along and they say, that's Antichrist. People saying, well, I tell you what, I'm Jesus. Well, anybody come along saying Jesus, say, bring on the loony wagon. Put him in the loony bin. Now, that's okay for a bunch of stupid Krishnamurtis that came out of India, which is Eastern baloney, cut Western style. You can believe in Theosophy or anything, the Anti-Besant and all those idiots. That's okay. You can even be supernatural like Edgar Casey. Because the voices spoke out of Edgar Casey said, reincarnation is the true doctrine. Well, he said, how could I be wrong? Well, the stupid jerk, how could he be right? Does that make you an authority? Because a voice talks out of you? Hogwash. That's happened to hundreds of thousands of people. Right in West Palm Beach, Robert, down there. There was a little girl. She was Adela and Ray George's daughter. And that girl was a nice little girl. But a spirit entered her. And her voice changed to the voice of man. She said, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. And she told everything that happened to her father all day long. She wasn't even hearing. He even warned him about his health and everything else. His security on the job. Told him about the things of the Lord, and they were so happy about it. Then one day the boy said, well, you've got to be on your own now. You're time to grow up. And he left the girl. I don't think he really left. He just shut his big fat mouth. Remember the Georgia Ruth? You don't remember. You're just a tiny kid. Now, you know, just what is the sign of your presence? These people, there's going to be a lot of people claiming that they have the word of the Lord because, remember, the word became flesh. Now, these people here say, we are the ones that you listen to. We're the ones that you should abide by what we say. Now, he said here, if any man shall come, say, lo, is Christ, lo, there, believe it not, for there shall arise false prophets, even false Christs, even lying prophets. Now, he tells you what they are. These are people that show themselves as Christ are prophets. They're liars. All right. Now, with that in mind, what we said, there's going to be a parallel of that, as I've showed you previously, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, Paul is talking about the actual descent of Christ in flames of fire at the time of the setting asunder and setting apart, like one hand, left hand, right hand. When he descends in flames of fire with his mighty angels to be admired in the saints. Now, Paul says concerning, we beseech you, brothers, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now this is the same presence mentioned over yonder, that you soon not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by letter, nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now notice Christ, many false Christs. So if there's going to be a presence, according to Jesus, there's going to be a lot of false prophets on the scene. Now that's right. Notice what it says, don't you be fooled. And don't you dare be fooled, be troubled in your mind, be shaken by spirit, by a word, by a letter, some epistle that comes to light. Like you're trying to get those fragments of the scrolls in the Dead Sea. What's it called? The Nag Hammadi or something like that? I forget. Huh? I don't read enough to remember all those names. Now he said, let no man deceive you. For that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin, the son of perdition. Doesn't say Antichrist now. It says son of perdition. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the presence. Going to be made known. Now he said at the time that Christ is made known, when he is revealed, his presence, which precedes the end of the world, the world systems, he said there'll be false Christ, and particularly Paul, emphasizes the son of perdition. Now, who was the son of perdition? It was Judas. Now, Judas was numbered amongst the 12. And he had every single gift that any other of the 12 had, the other 11 had. So when he was sent out to raise the dead and heal the sick and to preach the gospel, he was out there preaching the gospel. He was talking about Jesus Christ. He was pointing people to Almighty God. He was healing the sick and he was raising the dead. And people try to say he wasn't. You try to show me one scripture where it says he wasn't. Because he said it all out. And there is no record that said Judas didn't do it. Because they all came back rejoicing. Why, they said, even the spirits are subject unto us. And Jesus said, don't you dare rejoice over that. I saw Satan fall like lightning. In other words, they were casting out devils, and Satan's kingdom was already coming on down at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with those people and the gifts that they had. Even that false anointed one, that false one who was anointed, doing the miracles and things of Almighty God. It says God, Satan was already being put to one side. God's kingdom coming in. What about this hour in the Epiphany of Jesus Christ, where Brother Branham said he had more success in my ministry he had in his own? So all believe that. Well, you don't have to believe anything. Who asked you to come anyway? You can't sit in heavenly places with your mind closed and full of sin. The Bible distinctly says, he shall do greater works. There's one coming that'll do greater works. And the greater works were shown at this hour. Well, it has to be. Because we're going more and more from darkness to light. Because one day we're going to be immortalized. There's going to be a resurrection and a rapture. Now it says, this one here who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so he is God, sits in the temple of God. Now notice, he goes from son of perdition, a spirit, with a false revelation and a false word right into a man. And you will notice later on here, he is literally confronted by the presence of Jesus having descended in human form. So you got the spirit here, which is going to be put into then a physical being. So, all right. Now, over in Luke, the 17th chapter, it said you're going to want to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you're not going to be able to see it. Now, that's right after they came to Jesus and they demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. In other words, if you are that one, you declare your presence. Now, we don't believe it because you are declared it. We really don't want it. But the point is, why don't you just open your mouth again and really, really explain it to us and you persuade us. Now, if you know so much, when is the kingdom going to come? And if you're it, when are you going to manifest yourself? And he said here, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, it'll come and you won't even know it, the same as you're looking at it now and you don't know it. Well, come on. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He said it's right here and you can't even see it. Then if he comes to the Gentiles, do you believe for 1 minute that they'll see it any more than they saw it? The answer is no. I can tell you that. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, and you can't even see it. And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you won't see it. And at that particular time, they shall say, see here, see there, don't go after them. That, what time is that? The time of his presence. Well, come on. He already was present. I'm going to be present again. They didn't know me then. Now they won't know me then. So now you're just saying that. Why don't you study your Bible? When did they ever understand, recognize? I like your brother Brown said, if you said back there, if you didn't back there in the day of Jesus Christ, oh, you wouldn't have crucified it. You're the very ones he said that would have done it. Amen. See, where do you get that from? From the very scripture that Jesus said. He said, now you say, oh, if we'd have been back there when at the time of our fathers, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. He said, you liars. You're just the ones that would do it. And he said, fill up the cup of iniquity of your fathers. I'm going to bring it all down in your heads. And he did. 70 AD, he wiped the whole bunch out. The bruised reed, he broke. The smoking flax, he quenched. Not with the Gentiles. Not with the Gentiles. No, 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 no. No. They end with immortality. They go to the tree of life. See, Adam wasn't a Jew. He's man. Well, Jews are men. We're men. Do we have that seed from Adam that God put in him? When God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, that's when he was a living soul, able to procreate, able to multiply. All right, he said, no, he said, but now watch what he said here. Now, as lightning comes out of the one part, that's the same thing that he says in Matthew 24, and shines to the other under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. And Brother Branham explained it. As the light rose in the east, it goes plumb to the west. And when it settles in the west, there's only one place to go, that's to the east. So the same one that was manifested there, the same God, comes down at the end time in the same perfect manner. Now this time a spirit to the Gentiles. Now notice, Jesus put some wives to it. He said, don't you understand I'm going to suffer and die? Now I'm going to rise again. And many centuries later is what happens. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. There's going to be an absolute repeat. And this is what Brother Branham is bringing out in this sermon at this time, concerning what we're talking about. Now, so all right, it very definitely, absolutely appears, because it is so, that this message, like other messages, especially the anointed ones of the end time, these messages are enlargements and refinements of what Brother Branham said was concerning the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ or God himself. Now these messages are belaboring the point of the two presences, the two parousias. They are so close, razor edge close, that only the elect, that's the very elect, not just elect, but the very elect, can and will know the difference according to Malachi 33 and 18. Because at the end time, under restoration, they do begin to understand. Now remember, that the principle Brother Branham gave, and the principle was never forget those twins. Both on earth at the same time, though it is not necessary to believe, each will arrive at the same time, like twins are born pretty well at the same time, within minutes of each other, usually. Sometimes one even could come 24 hours later, but it's usually right at that particular one spot. But it's not necessary to believe they're twins in the sense that they're going to be two people born exactly the same time, like Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau. It's not necessary to believe that. But they will each be in the same time slot. They will arrive in that particular hour of the Scripture, and they will depart. Now, this is shown in Cain and Abel, and is shown in Moses and Balaam. Now, we don't know if Balaam was older than Moses or younger, but he was in that particular period right at that time. Then there's Moses and Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Now, again, it would certainly seem to me that these men would be much, much younger than Moses, because Moses lived to be 120 years of age, and he was already, about 83 years old or so when he led him out of Egypt? Could have been, because he went to the wilderness, age 40, stayed there 40 years, and came back. So he's in his 80s. These men could well be in their 30s. But at the same particular time, the hour of the Exodus. So at any particular juncture, you've got twins. That's what we're talking about here. Same like Judas and Jesus. See, I don't know if Judas was born the same minute. And he certainly had different parents, that's for sure. He never had the true bloodlines. He was an Israelite, but that didn't make him true bloodlines at all. Now also never forget, Brother Branham was dealing not with twins as people per se, but spirits. All with spirits, and spirits need a conduit, even as our souls. And all life needs a conduit. It's got to have something to work through. Even so, God and Satan appear in flesh. And so do all their messengers. So what we are watching at this time is the presence or parousia of Christ. And we are warned there is one true spirit versus one lying spirit. In Moses and Balaam, we see God's true spirit identified in one man, Moses, with the word. But we see many lying ones as Jannes and Jambres, Balaam, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, etc. And all these men are gifted, but not one of them have the oracles of God. Just only one person. Now, both groups, or both spirits, which we're looking at more than anything, testify and witness to God, but one is seen, only one is seen as we see it in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now you notice right here, there is one person that stood up, and that person was the Apostle Paul, and identified himself as the complete father, founder, and producer of the exact gospel that was to go forth and did go forth. Now, with that, we go to Galatians, and maybe we can cut this back. Second Galatians, the first, in the first chapter, let's read the second here. Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Went up to Revelation and communicated with them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles were privately to them which were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus nor who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and so on. And then it says in here, in verse 6, but to those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, maketh no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, and then they gave him the right hand of fellowship, and so on, as they went to the heathen. So what I'm looking at here and trying to show you is that there is one person who is authenticated by Almighty God, but there could be literally multitudes of people who are not of God, even though they have a witness and a testimony to Him, and they have actual ministries. Now, this is something that Pentecostals and the Laodicean Church cannot understand. This is something that there's no way they're going to understand. And let's get that flat. There is no way they're going to understand this, because they're the chaff that gets burned, and they say, we're rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. See? Now, he said, but that's not true. You're wretched and miserable. The word wretched means as a beggar crouching. A crouching beggar with his tin cup recognizes that he doesn't have anything. These people say we're rich, increased in goods, and they have nothing. They're bankrupt. It's just like the time of the 29 when the great stock market crash came. People with millions of dollars in shares and stocks. Whether you're foolish to walk down Wall Street in New York, someone to fall on your head and kill you. You're jumping out of windows left and right. Committing suicide. Pulling every kind of trick in the book. See? They're literally bankrupt. So you cannot tell these people any more than you can tell the scribes and the Pharisees. Because they're chaff for the burning. Now, we notice carefully. And we take this to be a categorical and axiomatic statement. Based on Isaiah 41, 21 to 24, Colossians 16, 17, Romans 1, 18, 2 Peter 1, 12, and so on, that these men are allowed access to the knowledge of God, but in their folly they use it against the truth, even as Satan did in the Garden of Eden. So, if we want to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, we can do that. And we read a few verses here, beginning at 21. And it says, produce your cause, saith the Lord, bring forth your strong reason, saith the king of Jacob, and let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Now, does he tell me the future? Let them show the former things, what they be. Now, they weren't even born, so how are they going to know? Someone's going to tell them, how do they know not being told a lie? He's telling me here, come on, show me that you know. Show me you've got something on the ball. You can look ahead, tell exactly. Look back, tell exactly. How do you think Moses got the revelation of what happened in the book of Genesis? How do you think the scribes were able to write Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And then John turned around and wrote the revelation. How? Where did the book of Peter come from? The epistles of John and Jude. By the omniscience of God. As they were scribes that sat right down. And God told him what to write. Exactly right. And he said, come on, he said, tell me. Now, God's talking about himself here. All right. Let them bring forth and show what shall happen. Show the former things what they should be. Then we need to consider them. And know the latter end of them. Or declare unto us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter. That we may know that you're God's. Brother Branham said, prophets of God. Called the prophets of God. Only a prophet could do this. Israel's challenged to believe the prophets. Why? Because this man Isaiah is a vindicated prophet. So God tells him what to write here. Gives it to him word by word. He's got perfect total recall. Show the things that are coming hereafter, that you may know your gods. Yea, do good or do evil. Not that they do it themselves. The thing is they say in the name of the Lord and they watch it come to pass. That we may be dismayed and behold it together. Come on. You think a prophet is not a dismaying and an awe-inspiring thing? To stand in the presence of a prophet like William Branham? Is no man, unless you've been there, you can't tell anybody what's like. It was a calmness, a rightness, and yet it was so forbidding and foreboding that you didn't intrude. Oh, there were some that tried, showed what they were. Behold, you're nothing, and you, your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooses you. In other words, these people don't take the true God and the true source that God deals with, they'll take something else. You know, it's like a fellow said, if a man doesn't stand for something, he'll fall for anything. Well, like Lincoln said, you can, was it Barnum or Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. The actual fact of the matter is, Brother Branham said, the majority's never right. He never coined the phrase, but he sure was right in using it, because you don't have to coin any phrases anyway. What, a prophet doesn't coin phrases, he just goes, the word comes through him. You're not coining phrases. Okay, now let's go ahead and I read this and showed you here that God says, hey, no one can do this, only I can do it, and it's done through a certain source. Now look at the Colossians here. Colossians, the first chapter, 16 and 17. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, or things created, they're all by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are maintained. So I'm trying to show you, God knows the end from the beginning, because he is the end and the beginning. I am Alpha and Omega. It's all in him. And he is a source that if you have access to by some particular way, why, you just have the word in your hand, so to speak. Now, let's go over here to the book of Romans. We'll use some more scripture now. In the first chapter, it tells you Paul is speaking of the gospel. And he says it's in the 17th verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, which is a true revelation of God's word, is the beginning of righteousness, and it's not only the beginning of righteousness, it's the maintenance and the end of righteousness. It's the Alpha and Omega precept, which is beginning to end. It's all of it. So when God says, I'm Alpha and Omega, he said, I'm all of it. I'm all of the history, good and bad. Sifts out the bad, burns it, just keeps the good. Everything's there. Like Brother Branham said, when Eve said, I've gotten the man from the Lord, he said, any rotten slut of a prostitute can have a child by the most despicable rotten ways. And she said, I've gotten the child from the Lord. And that's true, because that's the laws of God in motion. Where are you going to get it from? Gooseberry bush? You see what I mean? People just go nutty when it comes to the Bible. Thank God we had a prophet to steer us into these precepts, because the precepts, the doctrine, is what really will help you to understand. Now he said, the just live by faith. Now watch. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Have you ever heard the definition of a reprobate? You're listening to one now. An ungodly, unrighteous person butting into the truth and holding it right down. Now, keep all this in mind in this sermon. We're going to get to it. Don't worry. I'm going to tell Chad to turn it over in half an hour, but just keep her moving, because I ain't going to quit till I quit. All right. Now, they're going to go to 2 Peter, and we'll see some more goodies. In 2 Peter, it says the first verse, but there were false prophets among the people, even if there should be false teachers among you shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, Peter's saying here, hey, listen, There aren't going to be any prophets at the end time. There's no way Peter can be saying that because Jesus said so, and we've got them right today. What's he saying? They're going to have a ministry of false teaching. See? Just the same as Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, going right on back to the garden where Satan got his wedge in. Then Cain and Abel born. And Cain turned down the true revelation and killed his half-brother. You know what he's doing? He was holding down the truth and unrighteousness. Here's an ungodly person turning righteousness into unrighteousness. That now, holding it down, what does he do? It says in 1 John, tells you about it. He kills his brother. Why did he kill his brother? He hated him. Why did he hate him? Because of the revelation. Now, if you think this revelation isn't going to bring you trouble, there's something wrong with you. Don't try to force it anybody. Just give them the witness and walk on. I've had different preachers I told the presidents to talk to you back in 1977 and 78. And I said, I've laid it out. Oh, yeah, so-and-so. And they went a million miles off course. I said, right, 100%. And walk off. Never talk to him one more time. I said, Brother Bale, you're a liar. Well, never said I wasn't. No, I'm not stupid. You don't bulldoze and argue and get someone to believe what you believe. Forget it. It's going to be a pain in your neck like you never believed. Your vertebrae could hurt. You won't hang any wallpaper from that time on. Believe me, you won't be getting your arms up. I'm talking physical things, too, because it'll hit you. It'll hit you. Don't fool with this. That's nonsense if you think you can get into that. All right, listen here. We go a little further. The 12th verse. But these is natural brute beasts. So I wouldn't say that. I'm happy to. Peter is quoting from Matthew 24. Yeah. These men that are gifted men, they're witness to Christ, testify. Where do you think the swaggerts are coming from and the bakers? And the so-called second Billy Graham. Boy, did he blow the cork out of that sour champagne bottle. Because believe me, the kind of grapes that he's grown to set the children's teeth on, he can't stand them. You take one look at those guys. Say, come on, brute beast, to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. What's that? Entire excommunication, destruction. As they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots there and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast on you. Notice it says their own deceivings. They're puffed up with their gifts. Having eyes full of adultery. Oh, brother, that isn't the truth. It's worse than that. It's homosexuality. It cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. For they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? It's a perversion of the word. Turning down the true revelation is the only way that happens. And that's what Balaam did. He turned it down flat. And what did he go for? He went for money. Was rebuked for his iniquity. Brother Bass, iniquity is knowing to do it, and he won't do it. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds are to carry the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure to the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them to live in air. A fellow phoned me from New Zealand the other night. It's one of those nights I was up to where I said, well, I can answer the phone. It's only 9:30, so we were there till 10:30. And he told me this one guy over there, he doesn't have a clue to the presence. He may think he has. But he's telling the people now, he said, you see, you've gone from the show to the voice, and we're the voice. We're going to just do that and the other thing. Latter-rain hogwash. That voice is Jesus raising the dead, period. The only way that the voice is in the bride is by the true revealed word that she witnesses to, which she must witness to, the exact witness of the Apostle Paul, or she won't make it, period. We showed you that in Scripture. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. All right. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if they, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow is washed her wallowing in the mire. The people say, well, you see, their backs said, hog washed it. They never slid forward in the first place. You don't believe that? Go to the book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter, and it tells you categorically here. It says, for it's impossible, those are once for all enlightened, and taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they'll never repent. What is it all about? Repentance, the change of the human mind to the mind of God, casting down all reasonings, giving way to the word of God which has been revealed by vindication. Here's what you're looking at. They turn it down absolutely because they're not part of it. Thus we see Matthew 24:24. All the anointed ones, all the liars, they're false prophets, and they begin teaching the things of their own imagination. So there you see the two spirits that are in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, which we have already talked about. Now with this in mind, we can go back and read, I hope rapidly now that we can get ahead, on page 22 and paragraph 107 and 108, which we covered. Now notice, now they're both going to have prophets. You see, the two groups of people. The only difference was Moses, the prophet of God, his king was God. That's where he got his orders, the word of the Lord. Balaam also had a king. That was King Balak, the king of Moab. And that's where he got his orders, you see, which is the cosmos of this of the world. Come on down and curse me the people, for they cover the whole earth. They just come lick up everything like ox licks up grass. He said, come on down, for understand you can curse, you can bless. Whatever you do is recognized. Now, we want you to notice that this man was a prophet ordained to God, but he sold his birthright for political reason, just as the church did today, like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, the whole group sold out for the poles in their organization. That's the organization pulling them the wrong way. You see, Moses under God, Balaam under Balak. See? It's two spirits. Not the flesh. Oh, there's got to be a conduit. You're talking of two spirits. So now you're looking at now the Son of Man and the Son of Perdition. And what is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is the literal spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit of God means the nature, proving it is God doing it. Comes right down here and does it in the pillar of fire, and there's the picture. So I don't believe that. That's fine. You don't have to believe anything. What do we teach? When they come in wearing their funny hats and their funny clothes, and they think that's the way they invented God 200 years ago, they walk in the door, they walk out. You think I'm going to be sorry? No. There's never been repentance for man to have a certain suit of clothes on, think that makes him something. What's your clothes got to do with it? Unless you're filthy clothes, you're trying to expose yourself. Then it's got plenty to do with it. Shows what's in you. Come on. Let's get down to where reality is. People don't want reality. They can't stand reality. That's why they can't come to the light. Because their deeds are evil. Based on what? Their own revelation. It tells you this. What revelation has a brute beast? How many people got dogs? Let me see your hands. Come on, get them up. How many got dogs? Talk to your dog today and explain the word of God. Go ahead. Aha! There's no difference. The Bible tells me Balaam had a donkey. Had more than he had. See, a comparison not exactly true. A brute beast is a brute beast. The spirit of man goes up, and the spirit of the beast goes down. Come on. Stick with the Bible. Don't get your own thinking in here and say, well, Brother Bill, I just love these people. Hey, fine, love the people. That's great. But you better not love their ways. stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Not something erroneous. Now, where are we going to go from here? We're going to go to page 23. And on page 23, I'm going to read 113. Now, he said, now, we notice this. This is where you... They're going to turn tape over. Now, we notice this. Both of these were spiritual men. Both prophets. Both were called. And Moses, right in the line of duty with the fresh pillar of fire before him every day, and the Spirit of God upon him in the line of duty. See? Okay. Let's go over here. And we go back to 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And notice Paul has already had a confrontation with these false prophets that are teaching wrong. And he said, I'm jealous over you. God is jealous. I've espoused you to one husband. I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And he said, there it is. Absolutely righteous. Based on the word of God. No problem. 100%. You're going to make it. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that come preach another Jesus whom you not preach, another receive another spirit which ye have not received, another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now notice in here, he's saying here, when this comes, which it will come, don't you dare lean toward it. You stay with the original. But he said, I'm sorry, I know that already it's amongst you. Some of you have already given way. Now what does he say in the 13th verse? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Then therefore it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, and whose end shall be according to their works. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. So these people will take the same word and pervert it. They're not going to come and say, hey, there's no Jesus that ever died on the cross. They're not going to say that. They're going to say that. At the same time, they say, blessed virgin, blessed mother, queen of the heavens, kiss the Pope's toe. Talk about Jesus having died and risen for sin, and turn right around like some of my Catholic friends, and they'll say, well, you know, we're going to have another stab at this because we're coming back. I believe in reincarnation. Show me where the Roman Catholic Church believes in reincarnation. Show me where they don't believe it. Anything goes. Sure it does. They're bewailing and they're belly aching right now about it. Why did the Pope lose his control over the years? Because they allowed everything and anything to come into their doctrine. Voodoo, everything else. Go down to the islands and see who practice witchcraft. The priests are the best of the works. You want a good Ouija board operator? I think that Catholics would be good because they pray to the dead. I got news then. Mary's dead. Your prayers to her can't get through, but the Pope's got it all figured out. Mary's going to persuade her son, Jesus. And she calls him, her the mother of God. How can God have a mother? If God has a mother, then you better worship the mother. Because she's before him. That is Gnosticism. So, listen, they know the history way better than Leville ever knew the history, but maybe I know the important points. I hope so. All right. So here now, these are the same that we're talking about as Matthew 7, the false prophets, Matthew 24, the same false prophets, and in 2 Thessalonians, the same false prophets, and in Peter, the same false prophets, and in Jude, the same false prophets, and in Revelation, the same false prophets. There isn't any difference. Because you got the kingdom of God against the kingdom of Satan. And they both start as spiritual. Now, here comes another servant of God, called a God ordained of God, a prophet, whom the word of God comes to. And here's the danger of it. There's nobody could dispute that man being of God, because the Bible said the Spirit of God spoke to him and he was a prophet. But you see, when he got the real answer from God, he wouldn't keep it. And he didn't notice it. Then he went to challenge Moses. Now, this is the thing you're looking at. These people today can preach the very word that we're preaching with an entirely different slant and claim they are 100% right when we know they're 100% wrong. Because the appearing is not the rapture. The appearing leads to the rapture. Then the destruction of this earth. Not the complete destruction. I don't mean dissolution now. Going into a vapor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the earth and all these kingdoms being taken over by Christ and his bride, by the power of Almighty God, the one seated upon the white horse with the bride coming with him. Now remember, the appearing is when he comes with his angels. There it is right there. But they'll never understand it. Now listen, but you see, he couldn't take the real answer. Now what is the real answer? A real answer is a real prophet. How the Word of God really comes and how you really can know it is the real Word of God. Now they know that. They talk about prophets. Go back, oh, prophet, 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 prophet. Like that Brother Moore I mentioned, you know, he wrote the Herald of Our Hope, you know, the best, Brother Branham did it. It's the best paper ever put out. And they said, oh, God send a prophet. Oh, God send a prophet. God send a prophet. And the prophet came and ate dinner. And when he went away, oh, God send a prophet. You and Israel's going to come to you before it's over. They're going to say, blessed is he, and we don't care who he is. How he comes and where he comes from. But blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We've had it. To this point, Israel, after 2,000 years, has not yet had it. Oh, they smart off left and right. They're depending on their government. They're talking about fleeing Russia, and you've got communism, socialism right in the midst. And America over here, this building the image to the beast, screams, oh, hallelujah, we're glad that this communistic nations have fallen. Now we're the chief bastion of socialism right here. We're finished. Oh my, can't you see these people? When they come to the real answer, they don't want it. They come right up like Israel to the promised land. The door open, it's yours. Look at the good fruit, look at it. Taste it. And in this hour in Hebrews 6, it says they literally taste the power of the world to come. And they said, walk right away. And the Bible said you don't get one more chance, it's all over. Why? Because that which is perfect has come. No more parts. And they don't even notice it. Now, what keeps them from noticing it? They're so enthused with their programs and their abilities, especially gifts of the Holy Ghost and the converts coming in, and all the lies that are coming through their mouths. You know, they're just like that person I told you about, Daddy Bosworth, told him about many years ago. The poor woman was dying with arthritis. She was lying in bed. Her bones had turned to chalk, and so they got this message in tongues and interpretation. Now, thus saith the Lord, my little children, do not be afraid to straighten your legs. So they pulled her legs, and crack went the legs, and the bones broke. And this person spoke again, do not fear, my little children, though the bones may have broken. Fear not to take her neck now, and twist her neck and shake. They twist her neck and shake, and she broke her neck, and she died. They took the whole bunch into court. And that's what's going on with these people today. They're trying to manipulate a body that's calcified and turned to chalk, and all it's going to do is they're going to break their own necks. Why? Because they know better. They know better. Go and talk to their theologians, like I read in Toronto. If you haven't got the sermon, get it for your own good. They know better. Proving Brother Branham 100% correct, they know better. Catholic standing down there wrote to an artist, a fine man, an absolute fine man. And you couldn't say the Spirit of God wasn't speaking through. The Spirit of God was speaking through that man by the Word. And he's a million miles off. And he said, what's a miracle for? Shut up and sit down and listen. There's something you're going to be told. And they'll take the queasiest thing they ever saw. And yet, Pentecost turned down the Word of the living God. Well, they're supposed to do that, so what are we going to do about it? We're going to do nothing about it. Nothing we can do about it. All right. Where do we go from here? We went there. Okay, we got... Now, Balaam sought the will of God with all his heart. You think they don't? Well, they locked themselves in clothes closets. They prayed and they fasted. They locked the door. Don't come near me. I'm not available. I'm here to twist God's arm. I'm here to plow through. I thought Jesus plowed through. There's a lot of funny things going on. I was part of it for a long time, so don't think I don't know what I'm talking about. Their hearts could be crying and screaming for God. Now, when these great men came over and said, Balaam, Balak the king has sent to you to come immediately curse the people of Israel because they're scattered all over the face of the earth and now they're camping against me. Now, the thing about these people, they didn't even want any part of their Moab. You know, they think we're looking for converts to take people out of church. Hogwash. You're not be afraid, scared of me going anywhere and asking somebody to come. I just say, hey, I don't think you'd like us. See, there's no use talking to anybody until you tell them where you're coming from. You've got to let them know where you're coming from. There's only one real voice, and that must be vindicated or forget it. Live like a dog, die like a dog. Who gives a rip? There's got to be something somewhere. And you show them the film of Brother Branham, you talk about the Word of God, how God does things, then you walk off. I think Brother Bob Simpson found it out west when he was out there talking to man and talking and talking. One day, hey, he said, we need a prophet. That's what we need. Bob led him exactly where he wanted the man to be led to. Hey, we need a prophet. Whatever happened, you ever get nowhere? But he still needs a prophet. Yes, sir. It doesn't matter, brother. He makes the wrath of man to praise him. The remainder wrath he does restrain. God will make every tongue confess to him. Sir, that's good. It was good work for you. Good you did that. We must witness in these particular nights. Now it says they licked up the kingdoms and so on. Come and curse him. Now you see he was a man of God. What you bless is blessed. He was a servant of God. Okay? And of course we know that everybody's a servant of God. Over here in Romans, the 14th chapter, it says here for in verse 7, for none lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Whether we live or we die, we die to the Lord. Or whether we live, whether we live, we live in the Lord. Whether we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. So it tells you right there, it says right here that when Jesus died upon the cross, he bought everybody. Everybody said, do you ever tell a man what to do with his own goods? Well, you may suggest and say, this is better, but you can't tell him unless you're the law, you know, a crook or something, or got a gun in your hand. All of these belong to God. Everybody belongs to God. He bought them all. That's why Eve could say, I've gotten a man from the Lord. See, there again, because he was coming under the future of the Messiah shedding his blood, and therefore he bought them all. He does what he wants. Like it says in Romans, a man has a house, he can take a lump of clay, he can make a pot, this kind, that kind of pot, that kind of pot, put it on the shelf, a beautiful vessel, over here, use it for a slop can for all he cares. You can't tell a man what to do. Can the pot say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Can the thing form say to the former? You got to understand these things. Now, Balaam thought, being a prophet, there's only one thing for me to do, and that's to seek out what is the will of God. That's the duty of a prophet. If he's called a prophet, that's what he's going to do. First, what must a prophet do? Is to seek out the will and the word of God. He must do it because being a prophet, the word of the Lord comes to him. And you say, well, they're not theologians. Certainly not. The Bible never does say the word comes to a theologian. They're the ones who mess it up. That's sure the truth, too, right there. He wouldn't get very many brownie points for that one. But it's the truth. All right. Now, let's go back here to where we're reading. See now. So now, you notice here, there's a real true prophet. He comes on the scene vindicated according to Deuteronomy 18. One, God vindicates himself to the prophet. Number two, he's vindicated the people. Number three, he brings the word. For he knows who he is and his purpose and his, in his course, the course of life, you know, which is the word, which Balaam and the rest can't know, and they cannot know it. Now that's the thing about it. There's got to be one source. And these people come and they say, well, hey, just a minute, I've got the same this guy's got. Don't tell me I don't have the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me I can't know. I do not have to have anybody, because it says right here in the New Testament, Jesus said, when I go away and the Holy Ghost has come, he'll teach you all things. Well, then, how come the pillar of fire came to Paul? See, something's missing up here spiritually. They can't look at the word and say, just a minute. That never happened at Pentecost. It never happened to those 11. It happened to one man, Paul, and he even withstood those 11 face to face and showed them they did not have what he had concerning his ministry, which was to the Gentiles. No, they did not. Now, they're born again, no problem. They're disciples, they're apostles, no problem, no problem, no problem. The point is this, God does things a certain way. And the true revelation came to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it all down. And Peter said, there's many things that Paul said, they're hard to understand, and people rest to their own destruction, but I want to tell you one thing, Paul is right. You bet he was right. You bet he was right. He was vindicated from Jerusalem all around the world, wherever that man went, absolutely vindicated, walked in, and you saw the processes of the power of Almighty God. Daddy Bosworth would go to Japan, go to Cuba, any place in the world. I talked to the man, knew him very well personally. And you can, perhaps you might get tapes from him, I don't know. You, maybe some are extant, I don't know. Some, he got a book or two. But I know he would say, see, no, Brother Vail. He said, I just love to prove God, he said. He told me I went to Japan, and in this man's ministry, there never was a failure when it came to radical mastered operation. It means you take out all the eardrum and everything, there's nothing there to hear with. And he knew that every time he prayed, God would recreate those bones in the eardrum, and the person would hear. And that never failed in his ministry. And so when he preached in Japan, he would now say, listen, you do not believe God. See, there's a bunch of Shinto believers. That Buddha. What is Shintoism? That's not the same as Buddhism, but no, Shintoism be along that line, but maybe it's a branch like Shiite and the different types of Muslims, I don't know. But anyway, over there, he would preach, and then he'd say, now let me pray for people. But he said, the first people here, I want radical mastoid operations. And they'd interpret. I want you that doesn't have an eardrum. Been taken out, the bones out. And he said, I would just stand there just chuckling away to get my hands on him. Watch it. Knew that God was going to do it. And he did too. I mean, that fellow was a marvel. Second to Brother Branham only, if anybody ever knew. Nobody of his caliber. And as soon as he prayed, brand new ear. But you see, signs followed the word. That's everybody's commission. But there's no place outside of a prophet where the signs go before the word, as Jesus began to do and to teach, as Moses began to do and to teach. Now, these people simply take gifts. You follow? And it won't work. Now, that shows you, when you arrogate to yourself a position based entirely opposite to what the Word of God says, you are not of God, even though you preach and preach and preach. You say, Brother Bear, what if the day comes and that man turns around? Well, that proves he was a God. I used to believe in nothing but signs following. I thought, hey, that really puts you in a category. Not that you were going to show anybody you really were of God, but hey, this is the way to get him to God. It doesn't get him to God at all. I've seen him come with bad backs, everything else, get perfectly healed, and go on down the road. It's the same as everywhere. You know, it's Baptist, Presbyterian, heathen. What's the difference? You know, it's just the difference is he's a healed heathen. I see, I'm back in my mind. I'm going back 30 years and better. Which you just got to kind of take my word for it. All right, now, it says here, we're on page 25, and we're up to the paragraph where I left off last time I preached. Balaam failed to see that smitten rock and that brass serpent, that pillar of fire. He tried to judge them from a moral standpoint. Now listen, he failed to see the smitten rock and the brass serpent, that pillar of fire. He couldn't see it, because it was pointing to the future. And he was standing still where there wasn't any future unless he positively worked and ordained that future. He didn't understand, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord watch the city, the watch and watch it, but in vain. He didn't understand how that God does things and maintains it, the things I've been telling you about. He doesn't understand those, see. So he's looking at this and he doesn't see it. Now watch, in not being able to take this looking forward, you understand what I'm saying? Because you're going to return to the millennium, to Eden. The promised land is not Eden. It's not the millennium. It's a temporary place for humanity and history going on. This is only a type. Now he couldn't look forward to reality. Now watch, what happens in our day looks back upon the pillar of fire, the cross, the smitten rock, the brass serpent. Because we see everything that he did when he was here in the flesh as Emmanuel, he does here now in the form of the Holy Ghost in the pillar of fire through a prophet. See, they couldn't look forward. Today, the people can't look back. No, they can't. They can't identify what went on today as the ministry of Jesus Christ had brought forth in Matthew, the 12th chapter. They can't do it. They can't identify the Son of Man in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. They can't identify the appearing. They think it's the rapture. Yet the Bible says you've got to see him as he is before you get your change. My understanding is you already got your change when you're up in the rapture. They got the cart before the horse. They got something messed up anyway, bad as Balaam. Thinking he was talking to somebody when it was a donkey. Even answering the donkey back. Talk about a mixed up guy. He tried to judge them from a moral standpoint. He failed to see the higher calling of God by grace. By election, they were in that land. That line, L-I-N-E. And with God's word. Now, look. Today, most people haven't got a clue to election, foreknowledge, and predestination. And they don't understand exactly what it says over here, according to the Apostle Paul. Now, this is the people that escaped the Antichrist. This is the bride. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Jacob, ever loved. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. How in the world does the Spirit of God set you aside except by the Word? See what I'm saying? Not by gifts. By the Word. That was the days of Moses. He said, when you go to that land in there, it is this Word that makes you different. When you and I go to the millennium, it is this Word that makes us different. And we are Word. It is the difference, is the Word. By revelation. Now, Brother Branham said, they were looking at Israel on moral grounds, which is works, and how they conducted themselves. That's how you people say, well, you're not winning any souls, you're not doing this, you're not doing anything. Well, that's all right. All those things are good, but they'll never take the place of the Word. Now, listen, and when he wanted to curse them, God said, don't do it. They're mine. Leave them alone. Don't touch them. Now, remember, no man of himself can curse anything. There's got to be some power out there that's doing it for him. Because the curse enters into the realm of the supernatural. Now, look right happens over here in 2 Thessalonians. The same thing today. In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where does that come from? Do you that are troubled rest with us? Rest when? At the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, his mighty messengers, seven mighty angels. Ministers, flames of fire. And they come down, and that's the time there's a curse and a blessing. Now, here's the same thing with Balaam and Moses. A curse and a blessing. And God says, I'm taking Israel in as a blessed people. And Balaam stood there and he said, I don't think I'll let him do it. Bless God. What makes most of that bunch down there think they've got any more than I've got? Hallelujah. Why, he said, they just came from the same stock we came through. Well, old Abraham, he was the son of, Peleg, or his name was anyway, back there in the Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, after all, he said, our father was Lot, and he was a nephew. And so it's the same bloodlines, and we worship the same God. There's one God we worship. What are they trying to tell us anyway? Why, they're trying to make something of themselves. And when people make something of themselves, and they separate themselves and say, hey, we're going in and this and that, he said, I think they're just too high and mighty, and they've got out of hand, because God blessed them and took them through the Red Sea. Now you can see what's happened. It's gone to their heads. Oh, yeah, they separate themselves. We'll just curse them. We'll knock them out. We'll get rid of them. You think they didn't say that? Come on. They had an association. They had everybody going back and forth, just the same as today. There's no difference because Brother Branham said, Moab is today. And I got you. That was in Jeremiah chapter 48. Read the whole thing yourself. We already dealt with it. See? Now he said, don't you do that. Don't you curse him, because he said, what's today? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The very word of God which came to the Apostle Paul must come back today in its original, absolute meaning and application. And when the people take it, they will be guaranteed under Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 17 to what, 21 or 23? Let's find out. Never could remember if it was 21 or 23. We'll soon tell you. 23. But especially to 21. Comes in and puts the church in order and takes it away. Now, so the men turned around, went back, and now watch his denomination headquarters, though, when he gets back, they send a more influential group, and so on, and so on. And he sent a better group, a little more influential group. People who had a little better education could lay out the plan better, make it reasonable. So that's what Cain did. He reasoned. That's what Korah did. He reasoned. And it's not he the reasons. We cast down reasons. We believe God. No matter what anything else says, we believe God. We don't reason what God says. You can't reason with it. You have to accept it by faith. Like I said the other day, last Sunday when I preached here, I mentioned the fact that Paul brings out in Hebrews what a man seeth that he had hope for. In other words, when it's in front of you, there it is. It's yours. Take it. Well, that's the way it is with the presence and with the appearing. It's in front of you. Take it. Israel, the door was open to Canaan's land. There it is. Take it. There's the grapes. Eat them.
Well, how do you mean?
You mean you can't take what's yours? How come we want to take what's everybody else's? Cut and pick a bunch of thieves, see? God, we need a bloodbath or something, I tell you that. Just let you know the truth. Something's wrong. Yep, they turned it down. You have to accept it by faith. You don't reason it. They're in front of you. And that's the truth. When it's there in front of you, that's scientific. Because you have passed now from wondering what is so to knowing what is so. And Brother Branham said, that's scientific. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe what the prophet said. Now, let's go on down to where we really we quit the last time. I got myself mixed up on a page here, but that's all right. I wanted to read anyway. Now, he said, it isn't for me to know what they believe or not. That's when Dr. Davis and Davis said, hey, Bill, forget it. You didn't have a call. They won't listen to you anyway, so why? He said, I don't care if they believe it or not. It's my duty to preach it. That's what he told me. He said he'd be with me, and he told me what he would do. Now, I know that Dr. Davis thought absolutely with the Jesus being with Brother Branham, he was talking about the Spirit, like Dr. Davis would say, he's with everybody. Uh-uh. There it is right there. Like with nobody else. No, I'm sorry, nobody else. All by himself, nobody else. People today from Norway and different places claim they got the pillar of fire. Every place you go, they got the pillar of fire. That's not for the pillar of fire, that's for the guys thinking so. Are you going to come behind Brother Branham? Especially to me. I don't know about the rest of you sitting here, Bill and Mary, and some of you saw Brother Branham, but none of you here all together never knew him like I knew him. Few men ever did, and few men ever can. Touch him? Come on. I've been with the greatest men. Seen them, read their works, everything else. Nothing but nothing. Marvelous. Marvelous that God should do that at this end time. Talk about an epiphania for us as well as for him. It's absolutely fantastic. God appearing in human flesh once more. God manifest in human flesh. And the hand does it, the body does it. And Brother Branham did it, the bride did it. All the so-called bride now says, oh, we're going to do this and do that. They forgot it's already been done. What is vindicated, that's science, that's knowledge, that's it. When that which is perfect is come, that means finished. It's over. All we got to do is wait for the word to take its final effect. Okay. And it's done exactly what he said it would do. First, take hold of their hands, and it'll come to pass that you'll even know the secrets of their hearts. And I told you about it, and it happened that way. How does it do it? I still don't know how it does it. It's none of my business how it's done. It's just done. Now, that's really something we should pay attention to. Who could explain when God told Elijah, go up there and sit in the mountain, I'll feed you. I've ordained the crows to feed you. How could a crow get a slice of bread and a piece of baked fish and bring it to a prophet? That's beyond anything I could explain. I don't think you can either. Nobody can, but he did it. That's all that was necessary. He did it, and that's the truth of it. How he did it, I don't know. It's none of my business, but he did it. How he made the earth, I don't know, but he did it. How he sent his son, I don't know, but he did it. How he rose from the dead, I don't know, but he did it. How did he save me? I don't know, but he did it. That's right. How did he save you? I can't tell you how he did. How did he heal you? I don't know, but he did it. He promised he would do it, and he kept his word. Now, from paragraph 126 to 29, we can see that there's no difference from what takes place in nature. How do the birds fly? You can't tell. They tell you, the dynamics engineers will tell you the bumblebee can't fly. His cargo has just made him unfit to fly, but they say the bumblebee doesn't know that, so he flies anyway. You know, how does the hummingbird flap his wings like he does? And they're fast so fast you can hardly see them moving. If you take on a nice day, if you've got some pretty flowers, you take a nice delicate spray on a hot day and spray those flowers and you could pray, it'll help. A hummingbird will come and just sit right in that little spray right there and right up by your hand. And you can see all these beautiful colors. I've done it different times. Or you can put honey and water, not honey, but sugar. You can't give them honey, it'll kill them. You put sugar out there, you can see them come right up there. You can sit underneath them and just, they won't bother. Out there, I'm sure you've seen hoeing in the garden doing it. Come right up there. How do they do it? God. Yeah, well, they say protein was there, so something had to happen. Yeah, that's about the best laugh I think I could. That's what you call a real good laugh breakdown in the depth of the tummy. How do they fly? The point is they do fly. Thus, manifestation alone is the answer to God's word. Explanation, Brother Branham said, an interpretation is God simply performing it. Don't fuss, just take it. Number two, thus we see God interprets his word and thereby himself by manifesting it and himself and just let it go with that. See, I don't know how he keeps his word, but he does it. Now, Balaam should have known that. He did know better. Now, do you think for 1 minute that Balaam didn't know that he was ready to go down and curse those people? He knew God was faithful to his word. What do these people out here preach all the time, Swaggart and the rest of these guys? He's faithful God, a faithful God. I think Swaggart does. Is Swaggart a Trinitarian? Somebody told me he's oneness. I don't know. He's no deeper than... That oneness spirit's the worst spirit in the world, though. It's criminal. They're the ones that said Brother Branham's a lying prophet. If that false prophet got killed once, that's good. He's out of the way now. Yeah, notice this better influential group came, and what about them that was better? Why, they had better gifts. Maybe more education, more manifestation, more of this, who knows. And not only that, they could give him more money. They could offer a better position. Now, besides just a regular minister in our organization, we'll make you district superintendent. Well, we'll do something for you if you'll just run that bunch of people out of here. See, and stop that. So they offered him a great position and said, you know, I'm able to promote you. Look where he's getting his word from, the head of the nation. Now listen, let's face this straight. We're talking about Brother Branham ministry. We're going back there. We're talking about two spirits. We're talking about true anointing on false people. We're talking about those that are off the word. We're talking about one real man of God, and all the rest, even though they appear to be, they are not. Now what are they doing here? They are pitting gifts against an ordained prophet, ordained word prophet. They are saying, hey, we got something too. We are great people. And so what happened? The assemblies of God and the oneness and the whole bunch began raising up preachers that prayed for the sick. Then pretty soon they began discerning. I never knew better. I did it too. I had pretty good discernment. Brother Branham said you had a lot of real discernment. He said, see, you could make one mistake that throws it out. You say, well, the discernment was the devil. No, it wasn't. I was operating outside the word of God. I was believing what I saw. I said, well, I believe anybody should do this. I was told by people, hey, this was done by man over here. This was done many years ago. This and that was done by Brother Brown. I found out there's a bunch of hogwash. Ha! If there had been one man and one man only with his ministry, he could have turned the world around. God didn't want the world turned around. No. So what did they do? He allowed them to produce through the Holy Spirit, based upon the word, all these great manifestations. And they said, hey, we're fine. We got it. Reverend Branham, you're no different from us. And I don't like the idea you're pretending you're different. So, hey, we're just going to upset your apple cart. You're none but oneness anyway, and us Trinitarians, we know what's right, and you're no theologian. See, they just went the whole gamut. And that's what you see right today. Now, where was Moses getting his words from? The King of Heaven. One was the word of God's promise, I'll take you to the promised land, and no man will stand before you. I'll send hornets before you, drive them out your right and left, and you're going to take the land I've already given to you. Go in, take it, possess it, it's yours. And now see, that's who Moses was listening to. And this man was listening until he came to something in his own heart. And he was jealous of, and so then he went to his ecclesiastical head. Okay? We're looking at this paragraph here. This is all very strange in the light that Israel had no intention of staying there and not paying for their food and welfare and their animals what they ate. Now the king here said, hey, these people here, we're not going to let them have any food. We're going to get rid of them. And we don't want to let them go through our land. We just want to send them on their way. And we just hate them. Now the point is what I'm bringing out here, according to Scripture, Israel was told to pay their way. They'd give money for the food, they'd give money for the water, they'd pay for every man, woman, and child, and every beast. And said, all we want to do is get over where we're going. Now you see, these people here did not have that vision, although no doubt they knew there was the promise to Abraham that there'd be a people raised up to go to a certain area, the same as Lot had a certain area. And they say, hey, if anybody's going to make it, we're going to make it. Now, this man Moses was a pretty tough customer to contend with. Because if Balaam had not been there to divert the people's attention, there is a complete possibility that they all would have gone on Moses' bandwagon and said, hey, we're part of you. We're going in too. So what happened? You got to raise up just enough of the same material to get the people thinking, hey, they're loony. They're a discredit. They're fanatics. They're heretics. Get rid of them. Don't leave them with us. We don't want anything to do with them. We got to put them down. You see what I'm saying? If any man was of the stature of William Branham, or if he was the only one of that stature, the rest would have come. But when he stood there and proclaimed his own stature, and all that they were doing was receiving an anointing, but not the true revelation, they had no course but to turn on him. No other course. Now, how can they turn on him and win? Because they got gifts. Now, we might not have one. I'll get rid of this thing here. I want to do. He said, we might not have one man like William Branham that he can really do all the things, you know, that we know that he's been doing and saying all the things that he's been saying because the man's got this and he's got that. But I'll tell you, we got many. We got many that can stand up and do as much in their way, so who needs it? Now, if he says he's vindicated because he's got that, then we're vindicated because we got this. Now, then who in the world from Moab would follow Moses? Nobody's going to do it. And yet Moses didn't even want him. When they said to William Branham, there's 10,000 people believe this message, he said, too many, got to shake them off. If you'd ever been around him like I was and knew the number of people that actually were healed and helped by William Branham, and he never, to my knowledge, once asked them to come to his church would have been the biggest church in the whole area. I remember walking in one time to that hotel that's down there on Spring Street, down by the river, and there was a drunk guy in there, and his language was like mine used to be. And he was letting the people know when he heard that I was down there to go to Brother Branham. Well, he's on tune. And anybody around here, and he's drunk. See, ain't nobody going to tell me one thing about William Branham that's wrong. I'll take that blankety blanks. Blank, 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 blanks, blanks. And he blanked for about an hour. Well, not an hour, but about 3-4 minutes. But anybody had a bad word against William Branham. He didn't go to church. No doubt the guy had been healed or helped sometime. But you couldn't lay a finger on the man. There's no way you could. Never once could you catch him with any deceit because it wasn't there. And unless this word is handled without deceit, absolute purity, and you get it that way, there's no way you're going to make the rapture because Paul said so. Everybody says, I believe Paul's message. Do you? Come on, come on, come on. And read the book of Galatians again. Find out how he got it. Read Romans 15, how he is vindicated. Go through the book of Acts and see further vindication. How that the man was vindicated before he opened his mouth. He began to do before he began to teach. Notice a better position. He said, You know I'm able to promote you. I will promote you to a better place. I'll do more for you. I'll raise your wages, give you a better salary. And he offered all of this. It blinded him. The Bible says a man's gifts will blind you. Blinded by gifts. How many Balaams are in the world today that by a better position, a better church, a promise of something, when a man gets his eyes open to the Word and the working of God, and that good man who's got influence will start out as a servant of God, and he holds a good congregation. After a while, the Holy Ghost baptism presented to him, the baptism in Jesus' name is presented to him, which is in the Scripture, and the only Scripture way to baptize, and when it's presented and to him and the denomination know they're going to lose him, when he starts that, they offer him a better position and a change in church. See, old Balaamism again. Just exactly like it was at the beginning. Now, everybody that starts to leave churches, it doesn't mean they all go back. There are some that never come to this message, but they will never go back to organization because they know it's wrong. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and we're going to take a look at this very thing. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Notice that. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature God is good, and nothing to be refused if it received with thanksgiving. So that people tell you can't eat meat, they're crazy. But don't eat too much, of course. Brother Banner said eat very little at the end time, so that's what the Word of God is for this hour, so put it in there. For it's sanctified by the Word of God in prayer, and if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and so on down the line. All right, our time is up on this, and I'm not going to take any further. Just make a note here, and we'll start when we get back with you, whenever that is. When we get back, we'll go to Timothy, and bring in Timothy here, and show you the conditions that exist in this Balaam situation right in this hour. So, all right, you know what we're talking about. This doesn't need to go on tape. You know what we're talking about now? We're getting a real glimpse and a real in-depth study of the fact of the two vines. The two spirits that are razor close. And ain't nobody but nobody going to know the difference except the very elect. Which means either the bride, wise virgin, in contradistinction to the foolish virgin, or it means even greater, only the few that are going to be standing here and changing mortality. I don't know which it is, night. I'm not prepared. I'm not a prophet. But there's your picture. It's very strong and very wonderful that we know the difference. And that's only by the grace of God. None of us asked for it. We didn't pray for it. It was already foreknown. And this is now predestination. Let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. The grace which is in Christ Jesus, now made known to us, even before the foundation of the world, but revealed in this last times what was at that particular time. And how good it is, Lord. Oh God, may we never forget that and walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, all sin, everything, iniquity, whatever it might be, Lord. As the prophet said, the blood of Christ not only purifies but perfects the bride. Now washed in the waters of separation by the word ready for presentation. We believe that, Lord. Because as the prophet said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, we won't stand in the way. Lord, bless your people today, we pray. There's those of us who could stand more of a touch upon our bodies, but if that's not to be so, as Brother Branham taught us, if we ask him, if we don't get it, just say praise the Lord and go on. Yet who knows, round the corner, it might be there waiting for us, a little more step of faith, a little more maturity. We keep on believing your word, Lord. Lord, may we all believe it together until one day there'll be a group of people leave this area here, and people... May there be enough to make the people wonder, though we know that that won't be the truth because they'll be so busy with so many of their own thoughts and own things that it wouldn't matter if half of a company didn't turn up. Something would take away their thoughts concerning it and they'd attribute it to something else. They wouldn't know. So, Father in heaven, we know that you're, long as you're for us, then who can be against us? Because you're our portion. So be with this people, Father, in the correct anointing, the correct way and understanding. And may the Spirit of grace and mercy be in the heart of each one so we live Christian lives that are known unto men. And say, well, might not agree with them, but at least we can't put their finger on their lives. That's all we ask this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.